Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. Today we have with us Brittany Fairweather, and Brittany is the Chief Business Development Officer at TRX Capital, a real estate lending firm focused on business purpose lending. And Brittany also manages the overall growth and strategy of client-facing communications at the firm. So we've got a lot to talk about, which is really a lot of like business, but not from the place that you probably think that we're going to head. We're going to peel the layers back and get a little bit closer look at who Brittany is as the mother, as the Chief Business Development Officer, as well as the real estate investor. And I'd love to pass the mic to Brittany to further that conversation and introduce herself and tell us more about who she is.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So of course, you know, we got these incredible titles and I love the work that you're doing. Before we hit record, we were just chatting about some of the things that are important to you and the things that make you unique. And I would love for you to share a little bit more of that with our listeners so that we can get an overview of who you are and really the works that you do.
So first and foremost, I am a mother of four beautiful children, which keeps me quite busy, as everybody I'm sure can relate to. I have kids that are all the way down to not even 2 years old, and I have a teenage son. So we are in the thick of it in all walks of child rearing and motherhood. From, you know, sleepless nights to, you know, high school drama. So it's definitely an interesting walk of life, interesting phase of life. But I am so blessed and fortunate to have an amazing team personally and professionally that we kind of all are in it at the same time. And it's really, really awesome to be able to have that support. And I know that I'm very fortunate and in some ways, not the norm to have that really, really wonderful support system.
Wow, that's awesome. And I love that, you know, you mentioned first and foremost that you're a mother. And I think that this is really the segue into the conversation today is that, you know, we can be all these different roles and titles in our professional career, but recognizing that this role to you, which is the first and foremost, the most important role, and, you know, who Brittany is, aside from the successes and the accolades and all the incredible things that you do, you really put that as a priority. And I think, you know, for many, many women that are listening, especially those mothers, I really want to take that note. And I know that we'll share a little bit more about some of that and how you prioritize the family life and the work life. And so how we can really stay true to who we are to the core. So before we dive into that, I'd love a little bit more about some of your professional side as well and kind of what got into that work.
So yeah, like I said, like you said a little earlier, our company TRX Capital is a private money lender. We're an alternative lender. So we sit somewhere between where a traditional bank would lend capital for a purchase of a home and then like a local, what people call hard money lender. So we focus exclusively on working with investors. We work with investors nationwide, and we really strive to work with investors who are improving their communities, whether that be repairing dilapidated houses and then renovating them and providing them, you know, putting a tenant in and keeping them as a renter in their home and in that home and providing a house for someone who is looking to rent, or they're selling that on the market and then offering that to someone who wants to buy it. And we also work with investors who are building houses from the ground up. And we work with investors who are acquiring and renovating multifamily housing. So we really focus on the housing component of being a real estate lender around the local market, job improvement, economy improvement, by really keeping the resources to the local market for all these investors. So aside from the personal priority of being a mother, you know, our corporate focus really is on the importance of providing home ownership opportunities, whether that be for rent or for sale to the people in our country who so badly need homes. We are definitely underserved in our housing community right now. So,
yes, I could feel you on that. My husband is a real estate agent as well. And so he kind of echoes what you're sharing as well in the housing industry. But, you know, I love that, you know, you've taken that concept of like how we can recognize a problem in our work and find ways to find solutions and, you know, bringing that the capital and the funding and providing opportunities for homing for those in need. And I love that you really take that to heart. And so I'm curious to know, like, kind of how did you get into this line of work? Obviously, you know, of that service perspective, but what were some of the challenges and the obstacles of getting into the line of work that you're in?
So we started the company in our first company. TRX is a fairly newer venture for us. We just started in January of last year, 2023. So we've only been at it for about a year with TRX. But our first company, our team has been together for almost 20 years. My partner and I, and then some of the core members of the team that we brought in, we've been together for 15 to 20 years now. So the first company that we had was really just a conventional mortgage brokerage. This early 2000s, and we were working with people, mainly people who were first-time home buyers and really focusing on providing homeownership opportunities and financing opportunities from a conventional standpoint. And so we had a real estate mortgage brokerage, and then we had the real estate sales brokerage as well. And so we were kind of working on both sides, helping people find houses that they wanted to live in and build for their families and getting them financing that would work for them. And so while we were operating that company, one of the principals and at the time was really, he really had an interest in studying the historical cyclical trends of real estate through the years and really started to see that at that time, things were changing in the market, mainly in the mortgage space, and that mortgage brokers were really losing opportunity. And in order to retain our relevance and be able to continue to grow our company the way we wanted to, we would really need to pivot. And so we started working with a couple local investors who were acquiring dilapidated properties, they were acquiring distressed properties, and they were renovating them, bringing them up to standard and selling them or putting a tenant in. And it was really before a lot of the large institutional investors were buying properties in scale. And we realized that they had a need to have some flexible financing so that they could continue to buy these properties and put homeowners in them and do the work to repair them and improve the neighborhoods. And so we sought out to put a fund together with our knowledge of the consumer and conventional financing and banking side and put together a product that could be available to these investors who really needed to be able to leverage their capital to be able to buy more houses. And that was really the beginning of the company. And then we have just grown it from there. We started out just with our regional focus in Southern California. That's where we started the company. And slowly over time grew that to be a national platform. And we've brought in all kinds of different components along the way. We've brought in, you know, title. We brought in insurance. We've brought in credit repair for investors and buyers and homeowners who, you know, maybe need some assistance in order to qualify for financing. We've brought in home builders and anything that's really touching real estate, we've kind of brought in some form or fashion over the past 15 years. And so that was the beginning. That's how we got started.
I love that. And I love that you talk about some of the challenges and the struggles that you encountered, because it's like you had just created the new company in 2023. So it's shortly over a year old, and recognizing that there was a need for some of the pivoting that, you know, with the properties and funding and capital, and seeing an opportunity to really do something with that, to make it more affordable, recognizing what your clients, hearing the industry. And so I love that, you know, obviously like having a business and, you know, given these past few years of our global pandemic, how much we've heard that word pivot. And
yes.
Recognizing, I mean, it's the word, it's like the theme of the whole, you know, in business, it's like, what did you do during the pandemic? We had a pivot. And so finding that
is the buzzword, the industry buzzword.
Oh, exactly. And it's like, but even still now, you know, 4 years post pandemic, it's still the one thing that we see in business is that that has been the word, because even though we're post 4 years, there's always room to pivot, because as you are evolving and changing, and then business doesn't just, you don't get a business in a box with a direction of how to get set up and started. So I love that you're like, hey, listen, we've been at it. We're still figuring it out. We're constantly growing. We're constantly pivoting. We're doing something different. And I think that that's a really great point to make, is that your business is not just set in stone. And as you continue learning and growing, you make those adjustments, not even in just the business space, but as the individual behind it. So I love that you share that. You know, obviously that's a huge part of overcoming some adversities and challenges and navigating and finding a way that aligns with the core of who you are and keeping those pivots just short, you know, so you can keep adjusting. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And so, you know, obviously you do quite a bit, and tying everything into how we as our podcast and our platform as well, our whole thing is really about empowering women. And so when we think of empowerment, I always tend to lead with, for us to empower others, we must first empower ourselves. And so how do we do that? How do we do that in business? How do we do that as working professionals, as moms, as leaders, as, you know, whatever title we slap on that day, because we literally wear so many hats. It's almost impossible. And it's like, so what do you do? And it's always that loaded question, like, how much time do I got?
Right.
Or who are you talking to? So I'd love for you to share a little bit more about the work-life balance, which we also hear as a big buzzword as well. And I'd love to hear your perspective on that as far as balancing as a mother, as well as just really excelling into the business development of where you're at.
I mean, it's a constant struggle. Work-life balance is you're right. It's a buzzword. It's something that everyone's like, oh yeah, we have great work-life balance. So we do all these wonderful things, but it is a constant effort to maintain and to create. And I will continuously credit our team that we have built, because without an understanding team behind me and with me alongside me, we would not have work-life balance. I mean, we are constantly having conversations personally with our, you know, when we've become a family at this point. We've been together for so many years and we work so closely together. We're constantly having conversations about that. I mean, it's work. It's an effort. It's definitely something that we are constantly trying to improve on and taking a step back. And I'm so thankful that I have the team with me that reminds me to do that, because as a type A overachiever, I'm like, go, 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 go all the time, 100%. And sometimes I need to have someone else be like, okay, wait, stop, listen to your body, take a break, get some sleep. You look a little tired. Maybe you should, you know, calm down. And then always bringing it back to the family as well. You know, our conversations that we have, how are the kids? What are you guys doing? What are you doing with the kids this weekend? How are you feeding you? How are you making sure that you have some time to decompress? Because we are in a really high, fast paced industry where we're always on call. We're always being expected to be available in this industry specifically. And it is a challenge, definitely, to continue to have that. And like I said, I'll credit our team, because we've built that trust with each other and within our team to be able to say, I need to take a minute, or, you know, it's 5 o'clock on Friday and I really am out of here to go hang out with my kids and get them to practice or whatever the case may be. So in order to achieve work-life balance, you really have to have a lot of communication and flexibility with your team and boundaries. And that's a hard lesson to learn, is how to have those boundaries and how to set that in place so that people respect them.
Can we talk about boundaries real quick? Because I love this conversation and where it's headed, because I think this is what a lot of us are hearing, obviously the buzzwords, right? So we're in the season, we're all kind of like growing up in this like post-pandemic, or I don't even know where we're at in this, however we want to call it. But the work-life balance, what I like to think of it as, like, listen, I'm a recovering perfectionist, chase perfection, but we know it doesn't exist. We strive for work-life balance, but we know it doesn't exist. It's in those conscious moments that we're choosing that we can have, you know, equal balance in our hands. Like, yeah, we're doing great here in work and we're doing great here in our personal life. But really, it's at a fleeting moment, the wind can blow and tip the scales, right? And so now we're not in balance. But I want to talk about the boundaries and really how one can set those boundaries to help maintain that core integral, like, peace and the mental and emotional well-being inside, so that we don't feel like we're about to tip over or go into burnout or take our work into, you know, our home life, right? And maybe we snap at our kids, or we're short with our friends, or vice versa. We're the same with our clients. We snap at our clients. And so really how we can emphasize this well-rounded balance in a sense that doesn't feel like it's either or, but it's in motion and it's a part of who you are.
So I had an interesting conversation recently around the importance of being authentic in our personal and our professional lives. And I think that in and of itself is difficult to do because maybe not for everyone, but for people who are in a client-facing, people-pleasing personality like me and in sales, you know, trying to always get a yes or get a win. Sometimes we do ourselves a disservice by not being genuine with who we are and being authentic with who we want to be and who we need to be. And that goes alongside, in my opinion, with having strong boundaries. So we just brought in a new salesperson and he is a go-getter. And I wake up every morning to emails from him at 5 a.m. and he wants to get on the phone right away. And I'm like, listen, I love the energy. It is amazing. But here's what I need you to understand and respect. My mornings are slammed with kids. Got to get them out the door. Got to have some time. And I've learned through lots of therapy that waking up a little bit early or spending a little 15 minutes more of a snuggle with my son before I send him off to preschool sets my day up so much better for success across the board that I'm not willing to compromise that anymore. And unfortunately, I'm now learning that with child number three. So number one and number two really probably didn't get the best of my boundary setting with external people. But it's so important. And it's something that has to be worked on all the time, constantly. It's like exercise. Your body's not going to be able to do and perform at its best that you want, you know, if you want to be able to achieve something physically, if you don't exercise your muscles. You also have to exercise your skills for, you know, emotional and mental boundaries and authenticity and strength. And I think that that is something that is so lost on our society today and is not really talked about enough, especially post-pandemic when people went remote and everyone's expected to be accessible all the time because you work from home now and your computer is right there. So it's something we talk about and we work on, but it's not something that comes natural.
Yeah. And I admire you for that because it does take a lot of self-discovery and a lot of self-awareness to recognize what you're willing to compromise and what you're not. And those are those non-negotiables. And so when it comes to boundary setting, that's something that I had to learn the hard way as well. And it's, you know, to be honest, it's like, you're still learning them, right? Those lines are never concrete, right, set in stone because yes, there's, as you mentioned, there's flexibility, right? Because there are some moments where we have to bend our boundary because time constraints or urgencies or really the demands of certain things. However, but recognizing, hey, listen, this is going to cost me X, right? Because when we say yes to something, we're really saying no to something else. And so we have to consider that, like, what would this cost me? Is that, you know, for me to feel rushed in the morning without that 15-minute opportunity for me to really just spend quality time with my son, to really have that moment where I feel this internal peace. So when I wake up and start my day, already feeling refreshed and centered and in this peaceful moment. But yes, well, typically go-getting women, this is a lot of who our podcast listeners are as well. We are driven, we are ambitious, we are go-getters, we are just on the go. We are quote-unquote busy women. And so I say busy, but what are we actually busy doing? And kind of taking that awareness and the overview of, are we busy just tasking? Are we putting out fires? Are we being reactive versus proactive? And that's why the importance of setting a tone for the day really is, like you said, hey, listen, I love your ambition. you're a go-getter. I'm a go-getter too, but here's when and how. And this is my firm, non-negotiable. This is my 15 minutes or, you know, whatever it is for you. And so setting that tone is so important to really recognize as we are going about our day. But how I like to start my day, we bookend it, right? So it's like you have this time for yourself to really do whatever it is. For me, it's like, you know, I'll take care of my, I'm not a mother, but I have pets. So I'm a fur mama and I take care of my babies. And then I'll, you know, have my coffee and my routine and then I go sit down and I will read. I will journal and I'll do prayer. And I don't care how long that takes. That has to be part of my time in that allotment because it sets the tone for everything else. Where many of us, we open, you know, the alarm goes off and we grab our phones. And right away, there's emails, there's demands, there's expectations. And this, like, you could feel this angst inside. Yeah. And that's something that I really recognize, especially during the pandemic as well, how important it is to set those healthy boundaries, but also giving yourself that morning routine and daily habits to stack upon so that you are now not just going into work and being that ambitious go-getter without really a set intention or motive. So I commend you on that because that is so, so needed. And I love that you also talk about being authentic in the genuine approach to having conversations, to communication, to be willing to share and be open about certain things and not feel like you can't because this is not a place in our work environment. And I'm seeing, to be honest, more and more of that as well, especially with our guests and people in just different industries where we're seeing them. I think that the pandemic really shined light on this, but we're seeing them just show up more as themselves and we're taking down the veil and the facade. And that's a big thing with, you know, my book, Chasing Perfection. It was like, we wanted everything to look perfect on the outside so that people wouldn't see what was really happening on the inside. And so when we're so busy curating this perfect version, we're not actually taking care of the mess that's inside that is Absolutely. Causing that turmoil and chaos, which is essentially what we're all seeking, right? Like, we just want that inner peace. We want to feel happy. We want this, right? But what are we doing about it? How are we taking care of ourselves?
So, and it looks different for every person. And exactly. I think that's the hardest part of it all is really taking the time to figure out what that looks like for you. A 15-minute snuggle with a 4-year-old isn't going to have the same effect as on the person sitting next to me as it does for me. But I know that if I wake up 15 minutes early to allot that time in the morning, his day is easier. Our morning is easier. He puts his shoes on faster. We get to school faster. And my day, my work day when that starts, is that much more seamless because I haven't started my day all stressed and anxious because we were late. Of course, there's going to be mornings where that doesn't happen and alarms don't get sent off on time and, you know, tiny terrorists in the house just don't cooperate. And that's going to be the case. But taking the time to introspectively figure out what that means for you is the hardest part. And that's what took me the longest because to your point, it's like everyone should see me as this got it all together, 100% on all the time, perfectly smiley, always positive being, but that doesn't really truthfully depict who you are at all times. And you have to be able to be authentic and genuine to be relatable.
Yeah.
Because that, it's like the social media reality versus, you know, image. You know, what's out there isn't all reality. That's not what's really happening. There's a camera crew that makes those things happen. You know, and that's where I think we've taken that to a more granular level now and realizing that we have that same pressure on our personal lives. And it's not just the untouchables that have that same pressure. Like we all put that on pressure on ourselves. And so really taking the time to draw focus on that and determine what that means and what that looks like for you. And then making it clear, clearly communicate, you know, these are things that I cannot do. I cannot answer you at this time. I can answer you at this time, but you're going to hear my kids in the background. So if that's your choice, then so be it. You know, what are those, to your point, non-negotiables? And the more I'm finding, really in the past 4 years, 5 years maybe, that is so important to clearly communicate. And I talk to people there. I have people that call me every single day at 6:30 p.m. And I'll answer. But I'm like, hey, making dinner. Hey, driving to practice. Like, I'll be there. I'll be available for you when I can be. But you have to understand that my life still happens. Mm-hmm. And my kids come first. And so that's been a lesson for me that I've really recently learned to kind of take by the horns and be real and genuine about.
I love that you shared that. And I think that's something that many women, and again, from my perspective, not being a mom, but when wearing our professional titles and our roles, always felt that we had to show up as this different version of you and feeling like, okay, put on the professional voice and make sure that, you know, like, you know, shoot, get out of here. Like everything has to be quiet. I can't even let them know that I'm in an environment where it would be loud because that would look like I'm not in my office. And if I'm not in my office, I might be perceived that I'm lazy, that I'm not actually working, right? So a lot of this, even though it's in our own narrative, but there's that preconceived notion that those become the expectations, especially as driven working women, that we have to always have it together at all times. And one of the things that you brought up too, and I wanted to touch upon briefly, is this. So I like to look at it from, you know, perfection is just an illusion, right? It doesn't exist. Just like work-life balance doesn't really exist in every facet. You know, fleeting moments, just like there's moments of perfection, right? Like the perfect moment where you're embracing a hug and it just feels like, oh, this is perfection. And those moments, you know, they slip by. So when we talk about those moments and then tying that into success, right? Success is another thing that I feel is so subjective. And it's also something that isn't, you know, my version of success is not going to be the same as your success. But we have out there in the social world and on the interwebs, it's like, this is what success is. And it's very strategically placed that success equals financial reward at the cost and suffering. Because if you don't chase it, if you don't want it, then you don't want it bad enough, right? We hear that thing, if you're sleeping, somebody else is working and they're stealing your dream, like that stuff. And it's just a bunch of BS in my opinion, because when we hear that, it feels like, oh, well, I want my dream and I'm hungry for that because I'm a driven woman, I'm a go-getter, and I don't want somebody else taking that opportunity that could be mine. And so maybe we skip out spending time with our kids, our friends, our family. We skip out on opportunities that really bring us joy and passion and the things that light us up. And so this is something that, you know, I personally had to really unpack as well. And so I wanted to talk briefly about, what does success mean to you? And how would you define that or give some words of wisdom or insight for those that are listening who are like, man, this is me. I feel like I'm always chasing some illusion of success because I want to hit that next thing. I want to make it. I want to show that I too can do this. And especially as a working mom and a working woman.
I mean, anyone's definition of success is going to be very personal. And it is something, again, that you really just have to define for yourself, because nobody else can make that definition for you. Nobody knows your innermost dreams and goals. And yes, you can see, you know, an external picture somewhere of what someone looks like that you want to strive to be or what that success looks like. But for me personally, I mean, success is being able to know personally that I am raising well-rounded, respectful, contributing little humans to our world, that I am teaching them the core values that are important to me, of work ethic and responsibility and commitment. And whatever that means for them individually is different, because my children are all different and they all have different dreams and goals and passions. And helping them to see that you can have a career that you love and that you are passionate about, and that makes you happy, and teaching them how to surround themselves with people who make them better and who make them the best versions of themselves that they can be. Personally, those are the things that define success for me, is teaching my little humans all those really valuable life lessons. And some of that translates into the professional success as well, because my success to me professionally is building a company that I can leave a legacy for, that is meaningful, that is providing a solution to something that our country and our world needs, which is housing, and building it with people who make me the best version of myself. Because that in and of itself, without the team that I truly feel makes me the best professional version of myself and personal version of myself in many cases, would be counterintuitive to what I want to achieve in my career. I don't need to hit a certain revenue. I don't need to hit a certain net worth. I don't need to hit a certain number of closed loans. Like, those things, while yes, they are important for the company metrics, they do not personally define success for me. And that's something that has to be balanced, understanding that there is company goals that may not necessarily define your personal success. But that's really what's important to me and what's important in my mind and in my perspective.
I love all that. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, you know, success from a two-way street here when it comes to the personal side and the professional side. And so many of us entwine those two and think that I am a representation of the success that I am in the company because I work there. And I know that might be different because you work with the team and you guys are building this incredible needed solution in the housing industry. But we see a lot of this in the entrepreneur space as well, especially in the solopreneur space, right? Where it's just you are your own person. And when you're looking externally to see, you know, for ideas and inspiration, you can see other people doing somewhat similar. And that kind of leads a little bit of that comparison, or like, man, I'm not even as far along, or like, well, they're focusing on that. You know, that looks like success because X, Y, and Z, right? So we create this narrative loop for that as well. And it's a story. But, you know, and then we look back at our own lives and say, well, I didn't achieve X, Y, and Z. Therefore, it's not successful. Or maybe they're not going to, others won't perceive you as that credited expert with the expertise because you didn't do what the next person did. And we hear this a lot, and it's just, you know, honestly, it's so sad to see that, how we compare our insides to others' outsides, thinking that that success is also universal. And what you are experiencing just as the individual could be something what somebody else admires. And they could say, hey, listen, success, I'm so busy doing all these things to chase that all I've ever wanted to do was find some freedom and flexibility and be at home with my kids and spend that quality time. And that could be what is defined for you, and other people are trying to chase that as well. And so that's why I always say, like, success is subjective. You know, it's similar to like love and confidence, for example. It's all defined personally as you at the individual level. And I think that that's definitely an important note, that everything we do in life really does come back to you as an individual. What do you define? How do you create? How do you look outward for the inspiration that helps fuel the internal fire that's already within? And I think that's a beautiful way of putting it with how you wrapped up success. So I know that you had a couple things of how you support women and the executives that you work with in the business space. If you'd love to share a little bit more about that, we'd love for our listeners to learn more.
Yeah, I mean, we are a minority and woman owned company. So we definitely have a soft spot and a passion for empowering women and encouraging and educating women, and primarily because we're in the financial industry and in real estate specific, you know, we really like to focus our efforts on how everyone can access wealth in real estate. And so we do a lot of networking, a lot of mentorship for young female entrepreneurs, young investors, and really just try to educate everyone that we can, that will listen, about, you know, how the perceived barriers to getting into real estate investing are really not that high. You know, there's a lot that you can do with just a little. And we have that's really something that we have at our core that we find is very important. We also have a discretionary fund that really focuses on investing in women-owned businesses and in young female entrepreneurs, young in the business, not young in age, so that they can have access to some of the resources and learn from some of the pitfalls and the mistakes that we've made as a you know, woman-owned company, as a primarily woman-led company as well, especially in an industry like ours that is incredibly male-dominated. And we find that really just being a resource and a support is more valuable than people tend to give it credit for. So,
I love that. I love that. And of course, how can people learn more about you and connect with you and all the works that you do?
So we are online. We are on Instagram and LinkedIn. TRX Cap Fund is the name of the company. We have a website, trxcapfund.com, and we are constantly out in the industry doing various different conferences and speaking engagements. And we would love to encourage and educate and support women in business in any way that we can, even just over a quick phone call or a virtual cup of coffee. We started one of my new members of my team started a weekly coffee chat where it's just the two of us because nobody else has joined, but we're just every week having a cup of coffee together virtually. I mean, like, okay, this is what happened. This is what we need to do. This is what we learned. This is what we need to do better. And ultimately what I'd like to start doing is opening that up to people who want to just chat and have support, even virtual, because it's important.
Yeah. That's awesome that you guys are doing that, is, you know, opening the doors for those conversations and giving women a place where they can really connect and be around other people that are like, hey, you know what? Me too. And so that helps bring some of that, you know, overwhelm in our busy lives. Feel like there's a place where, hey, others get it. And I'm not so, you know, crazy minded and doing all the things. But yet, here are some women. So I love that you do that. So, of course, all of that will be in our show notes. So be sure to connect and, you know, connect with Brittany and follow. And if any of those things interest, reach out to her and she'd love to connect, because that's obviously what you do. So I just want to thank you for your time and just being a part of our conversation here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.